Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, episode 12. In this installment, Yogi and Margot head for the village. No turning back for her. The gold dupatta slipped and showed her eyes through light chiffon. She stepped away from the road of sugar cane to stride between the irrigation fields. There, many palms floated upward, open as lotus blossoms on the fish farm ponds. Onion land, squat forests of the chili, and empires of capsicum and tomato received her here in Mother Ganges marshland. As the buzz machine of village children trailed behind her stride, she marched on with her western forwardness. It masked a frailty, having left two Tear Street girls to be this foreign madam in salwar kameez. Beneath her arm, a dog-eared English grammar was teamed with Hindi, history, and math. She would also learn to share an antique tongue as children weaved and snaked behind as one. This cheerful line went forward after her, but at the back a thought hit Yogi hard. Would he be always following on behind? Margot was eager to see the whitewashed village schoolhouse. Tails of geckos punctuated walls like commas. Acquainting her city hand with low-grade crumbling mortar, she read the trinket snake's calligraphy in dust. Thoughts of her two girls kept nipping her like gnats, and earth and floor was cold beneath her sandaled feet. The praying mantis took a pose like modern art. Welcome, teacher, to this school of swamp land wisdom. She hung the plastic charts of syllabus on nails. Then Madam signaled Janna Gana Manna, national anthem time. She, the new lawmaker, was banging away, deft on her rattling hand drum. School is life to death erudition for tomorrow. Remembrance squeezed a tune from the harmonium, punctured like a lung, wheezing hard, yet given by a farmer in lieu of fees until he said the sugar mill crop was cashed, a 3 years old tale. Let the dance of kneecaps form upon long mats, and let the teacher be its caterpillar head before the sun instructs the soul of mercury to rise up through its gauge of glassy filament. Let there be much sweeping up of dusty leaves and collect the ball that squabbles with a cricket bat. Let someone gong and gong a brassy shard of metal strung on a rusty wire from the peepal tree. She had come to sit beneath the sacred fig, Ficus religiosa. Under the umbrella of broad learning, the tree sprouted its cortical lift of shade above these marshland flats. Shaped like green and giant hearts, each leaf tapered to a nib. They were an overlap of soft tiles, roof cover for an echo temple that passing storms bounced off. The giant was evergreen and always here through the seasonal wheel of floods. Plucked, a leaf was big enough to paint the face of god or goddess upon. Village children kept them in a book, believing they were inner voices that would speak to them in dreams. She felt the shape and shade and strength, but did not know its Ayurveda. Chewed, the leaves were laxative, a tonic for the nervous brain. Oh, ribbed trunk of a giant house among trees, I am Ashvata, once said Krishna of the sacred people. And for Gautama in meditation, it was Bodhi, the wisdom root. A striped back squirrel began to hop from one branch to another, like the fickle mind after its desires, greenly purple as the pygmy figs. Now Margot heard a voice in her head. Brahma is the root, Vishnu the trunk, Shiva the broad green leaves. Sit and learn. Sit down and learn. Yogi watched dryly from the papaya trees along the boundary. Madam's lesson, a tennis ball round as a planet, yellow as the sun, could not orbit this circle of farmhands. Come on, Jyoti, catch and say their word. The girl student, stunned and speechless, dropped the ball. Madam retrieved it through another playful chance, round as a planet, yellow as the sun. Again, the young brown girl with pink ribbons sneaking through her plait was not so clear. Is this work or play? Her face was asking. Do I have to? She dropped the ball, bright with future prospects, round as a planet, yellow as the sun. Margaret took the photo from her purse. She snatched quick glances between the classes. Her old life in a crumpled print. Two girls were plucking Peckham pears from her Adelaide backyard, sunlight shining through grandma hands of branches. Those roots would never die in this still life. Although Margot's restlessness had quit that winter pear for these papayas. Guilt was still a spasm in her chest. The girls were back with Papa now. This hard fact still goaded till an annunciation came in Mimi's voice. Bow to your path. Just drop it all. After school, they went to look around. Excited they'd arrived. So radical a shift from the cool hills. No raucous sound from those who'd branded them impractical. Instead of unkind kookaburra laughter, insinuating mad and cultish ways, they had landed in their happy ever after, alone at last to wander in a haze of humid heat. They could deal with it, still in the first sweat of their extreme new India life. They'd only to commit, and doing so, become their own dream team. I'm so glad we are here. I understand. Honeymooners now went hand in hand. Islands of sand braided through a wide hinterland, feeding wasteland swamp, reclaimed and planted wheat, rye, oats, sugarcane, summer paddy fields. Air shimmers, heartland mirage, river Ganga shifts course, new tides, coming monsoon, triggered by hot winds, plod of buffaloes ambling to water, cow dust to cow dusk. Fishing boats glide and boys like cormorants dive and swim without a schedule, while two newcomers stop to linger along the river edge and see two sarus cranes. A good omen in the Vedas. Newlyweds, Yogi and Margot held red hands before these paired-for-life old faithfuls. 6 foot nimble, the world's tallest flying big birds, grey-plumaged, red-masked heads with thrust beaks. When one dies, the partner duly pines away. Wingtips rose for a lifetime, robbing across sky acres, then levered forward, lowering red undercarriage, and chose to park elsewhere for now upon the earth. Stab, 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 stab. Two sarus cranes working the sand for worm and crab. The head grafted to a swampland by a river. They were walking on the edge of an idea called village living. He was breathing in fresh cattle dust that's not supplied at birth. She was testing out the notion she was free to choose whatever braid of holy river will lead to happiness. He saw a mongoose darting across the track. It lived here on the edge as well, just like the 16 vultures in a dead thorn tree above a Brahmin bull, skinny and sick and left to be bleached bones. This wild place was a forgotten pocket where they could hide out long from choice or fate. A crow kept circling with a voice that moaned. The kerosene evening with Nug Champa burning. I've written to the girls. I really miss them. The girls miss me. They think I left them. I wrote to the girls. I really need them. The girls call out. How could you leave us? Today I asked them both to write me. Today I saw how I had lost them. Why did they come? These visions, girl troubles, some vague longing? Did husband three need fresh time and place to unlock love's jinx? He knew her mind. He held her, wet-eyed in the shawl, on the cardboard bed. He tried to comfort the nape of her neck, the road of her spine. Their cup of lips pressed together with urgent thirst. They fitted like halves of a stringy coconut. A sense of balance lifted them up like rising gymnasts, arms entwined to tell the tale of a four-armed god who had no birth, no middle, no end, until they reached and reached and reached, and then relaxed and came to rest. Then watchfulness began to fade like a lost perfume. Tonight she tossed and turned beside him, a hare in a snare. She slurred words, called out, fell silent. She woke, went to pee, slept. He was keeping watch for demons at her door. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another episode. Until then.